Wealth isn't just about money. It's about the life you build and the legacy you leave behind. Welcome to Money Sense, where we've spent over 30 years helping people make confident decisions that reflect their values and build lasting impact. Hi, I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. Join us as we explore how true wealth comes from aligning your money, your health, and your story with what matters most. Hi, I'm Karen Ellenbecker, and I'd like to welcome you to our show today and introduce you to Elizabeth Parsons, who is a retirement transition expert, founder, lawyer, and a consultant. And she has also wrote a wonderful book, A High Achiever's Guide to Thriving in Retirement. Elizabeth, I think I need you. This couldn't be a better program for me because my daughter says to me constantly, Mom, you're a failure at retirement. And I laugh and she laughs. And I guess in the traditional sense of how I think about my grandparents and I think about people that I know, I probably am not the ideal retiree. But for me, I wanna push hard and literally just sort of walk off the cliff. And I wanna, what do I always say, squeeze every single drop that I can out of my life. And I've been practicing now for about 8 years. So apparently I'm not a real fast learner at what maybe traditional retirement looks like. But the truth of it is, I am happy, and I always say I want to walk like I have a place to go. I've sort of separated away from doing the day-to-day work at Ellenbecker Investment Group. My daughter has stepped in, and I've really struggled a little bit because I had this idea in my brain, I'm going to retire and go to Florida and golf, and that didn't work really well. I got to Florida, and as much as I love everybody around me, it's a such a much slower pace than I anticipated. And I live downtown in Milwaukee, which is in the Third Ward, and there's just such a different energy. So I am really curious about what you have to say about retirement, how you got involved in doing this, what tweaked your light that says this is a place that I can really make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I love that you're failing at retirement as we traditionally think about it. Most of the people that work with me, I think, would be described as not winning at the old model of retirement. So, and I also want to, just before I talk about my entry into this work, sort of applaud you guys for looking at the big picture beyond the financial piece, because of course that's important. You know, that's an incredibly key piece. But what I think has been sort of largely ignored over decades is that just having the money piece figured out is not the whole story. And, we human beings need more than money and leisure time to be, you know, energized and engaged usually. And I learned that the hard way. That's how I got into this work. So when I was in my mid-30s, I was in a very intense career at a big international law firm and, found myself sort of working 80 hours a week while I was trying to raise two very small kids and realizing these two things weren't going to work together very well. So anyway, I made the tough decision at the time to leave the career and sort of move to a less expensive city and do all these things. But the way I explained it to myself and everyone else was, oh, don't worry, I'll be fine. I'm just front-ending my retirement. I'm going to borrow a little time now when I really need it. And I've got enough money to bridge me over that period. So it's okay. You know, I'll go back to work eventually and I'll make more money and I'll be fine. But this like idea that retirement was a substantive explanation for this little interim period that I was about to go live was really funny to me, because once I got through the initial euphoria, I was completely unprepared for how lost I felt. I mean, I lost my identity. I had lost my sense of agency. I didn't know where to deploy the skill set I had. I didn't know how to relax. You know, I had no hobbies. I had I'd lost my community. And so truly, I'd lived through this multi-year period where I had to rebuild myself from the ground up in a way, all because I had made this fairly thoughtless change. I only looked at my financial situation and made this decision without really analyzing the rest of it. And later, you know, it occurred to me that people professionally face this moment all the time as they get close to what we would truly call the retirement age. So I've been doing this work 15 years with people who are leaving intense careers where they've had to commit a lot of who they are and their time. And they're all looking for an enriching, engaging chapter after they leave work. But the question is, what will that be? And it's not as easy to answer as you might think.
Well, I totally agree with you, because when I sit down with clients and they also want to kind of look at their financial future in terms of retirement, but so many of them don't know how much is enough. Enough Right. is enough. And they worry. They bring with them some inherited fears around money. And a lot of people quit too early, like maybe you did. And a lot of people wait way too long to retire. And they sometimes can't understand. They'll say to me, well, now I'm retired and I call my kids and they're too busy. They can't see me, because they haven't set those ground rules or for themselves early on to develop what does really retirement look like and to nurture it.
Right.
They just sort of jump right in and they think it's going to unfold. And so often I still remember one of my clients saying to me after he had retired and she came in and he had walked out to the room to go to the restroom, and she said, get him a job. Tell him he needs a job, please, because he wants to go to the grocery store with me. And the truth of it is, also, for me, I have to say, I think that there's some differences too. And I know when you're talking to people, I'm single. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I came into this golf community, wonderful little place in Florida, and I could do things with my friends during the week and golf and do some other things. But on the weekends, I was totally alone.
Yeah.
Because it was a couple's. And and I missed the energy of Milwaukee. I missed the energy of having a really fulfilled life.
Right.
And someone filling up my calendar. At home, my calendar is completely full.
Yeah.
It's not, those are none of the things that I thought about. And so I jumped right into buying something, which really didn't make any sense at all when I looked at my total picture. So when you talk to people about retirement and you talk about having a inspired retirement and a fulfilled retirement, a purposeful retirement, what does that actually look like for people? I mean, how can they get their arms around it?
Sure. So I think one of the things we always have to start with is sort of dispelling some of the mythology that we all have about this idea of retirement, what it is to be a retiree or in the community of other people who are retired. And I think you're speaking to it in a way, which is that, you know, you imagine that just nothing but leisure time is going to be the holy grail. It's the thing you've been working for this whole time, right? You're just, and everybody agrees some leisure is going to be lovely, of course. I mean, it is definitely, you know, I hear people joke, I'll take 30 Saturdays in a row. I don't know if I want 365 Saturdays in a row. And, you know, so what we try to say is, look, there are a couple of frameworks that are useful to reimagine what this next chapter is all about. First of all, I like to use the word graduation instead of retirement, because you're graduating from your career life into something else. And why can't it be even richer and more as opposed to less? You know, I think the word retirement indicates you're retreating, you're pulling back, you're slowing down, I don't know that it has to mean that. You know, I think it's more interesting to say I'm graduating. I mean, I did that piece, mission accomplished. Now I get to go do even more interesting things that I want to do. And rather than say it's got to be one big thing or only leisure, we like the framework of a mosaic and say, look, your career has been a monolithic undertaking. And if you've raised a family, that has too. Now, what you get to do is compose your life of pieces that fit together that really represent all the areas you want to be investing time and energy into. Hopefully it's fresh communities or reviving old friendships. It's your health, you know, your physical well-being. You know, this idea of personal fulfillment is now wide open again for reexamination. There may be deferred, you know, hobbies or creative pursuits, causes that you want to contribute to, time, treasure, talent. You know, there may be areas of life you want to explore you've just never had time to. So it's a little bit of the hard work of thinking about, well, what is this great mosaic potentially composed of? And then you've got to drop the mindset of waiting to react to all the information that you've gotten good at reacting to when you were a career person and realize you're going to be the creator of this. And it's fun once you get a little bit of a way to approach it, because I think the blank canvas is what's scariest, you know?
Well, I think it's true that you work very hard and you think in your mind. And I know I've told many clients that when you retire, you just want choices,
yeah.
But choices without direction, choices without a place to go and walk like you have a place to go is really scary.
Yes.
And I know that. And I'm sure you can tell us the exact, but there are statistics that say that a lot of people that leave these jobs, they have a depression afterwards.
Absolutely.
They really struggle with this loss of, as you call, identity. But for me, it was even this loss of someone filling up my calendar. I had people.
Yeah.
Now I have no people.
Absolutely.
And for me, I'm blessed because I have an office that I can go to and I can work on things like writing a book and being philanthropic and having a charity and doing things like that. But so often when a person leaves a company, they leave a company. They no longer have a place to go.
That's right. They lose their, you know, their sense of routine. They lose their sense of cohesion. You know, it's like, what are my days supposed to look like now? Where do I go? And the worst thing is if you bring all of those habits and mindsets forward from working life into this chapter, they usually don't work that well, because in working life, you are reacting to other people's agendas and problems and needs, not in this chapter. And that's what everyone sort of wants to be free of. And yet they're still showing up like the reactor, right? Like, where's my stuff? Where's all the content? You know, the other thing that people don't love often in the beginning is having to start over at something and not be great at it right away. I mean, most people at this point in their lives are the masters of whatever domain they inhabit. And so it's lovely, right? It's great comfort zone and you know what you're doing and how to get it done. And to suddenly say, well, I want to try my hand at this new thing, but now I've got to be bad at it for a while, you know, and I say to people, no, you can't judge yourself too fast. Just judge yourself as a student of it. Don't judge yourself as the actual doer of it yet, you know. But so there are all kinds of ways to, I think, just shift the lens through which a person looks, you know, that makes all of this feel a lot more approachable. But I couldn't agree more with you that being overwhelmed with choice because you have enough money and you have wide open time can be paralyzing. You know, you've got to have some structure. You've got to have a bit of a roadmap so you can get started in a way that feels intentional. Because the thing my clients tell me over and over, I don't want to be aimless. I don't want to wake up with nothing to do and no one to see. Like, that is going to kill me, you know?
Well, I know for me, I went and purchased the watercolors and thought, I'm going to start painting. And I just did exactly, I looked at it and said, my granddaughter can do better than this.
Yes.
And I bought all this and I ended up putting it away. And finally, I got one of these trays, like you see in a hospital, a table, you know, to eat off of. And I put my watercolors there and I put them right in my kitchen where I walk by them. And eventually, little by little, I started doing it. And I'm not half bad, but it took a while.
Yes.
But it was hard. And I just wanted it out of sight. And I didn't do it then. So I had all these ideas that I would start and not do.
Yeah.
And I had to put them and make them present. I had to make them as if it was part of my daily routine to do something, even if it was a little, until I started to enjoy it. But I know that I talk to so many people and the frustration of not being able to do something well, whether it's golf, take up golfing or pickleball or all these different things. And so, Elizabeth, what is the answer? How do people take those baby steps, or how do they start that process? And when is the, is there ever a perfect time? When is the time? I so often have people come to me because they have a huge rollover or they have something happening and they're going to do it in a month.
Yeah.
That's too late.
Yes,
that's too late. That's too late. And they haven't at all thought about what it's going to look like when they get up that first day and they don't have to go to work or go to any particular place or deal with any issues or problems that people are having. And I myself, I love that problem solving. I mean, that is something that I truly missed.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. To start with the timing, you know, discussion, I firmly believe minimum 18 months to a year before you are literally leaving your current role. It's very, very valuable and pretty important to start thinking about how your life structure is going to change, how you want it to be, almost getting into this mindset of a designer and thinking, you know what, work has been sort of the scaffolding around which the rest of my life had to fit. And so if you literally just think of it like scaffolding and you rip it right out of the center of your life, it's going to be a jumble of disorganized stuff for a while, you know, and you're not even going to know what schedule you would have preferred. And so what we work with people to do is really get intentional about this and break life into some pieces that are manageable, as in areas of life that are important to you, and think intentionally about it. If you could make it up to be absolutely ideal, what would your people world look like? You know, what would your health and your physical energy and well-being look like? You know, what kinds of new things would you be engaged in? You know, are there contemplative things you haven't had time to do? Are there spiritual things you want to explore? You know, are there topics you want to learn about or skills you've always wanted to acquire? And start thinking about, if you had total control over your time, it within a day, a week, or even a year, how would you design this thing to be ideal for you? Because suddenly you have, at least in theory, right, that option. Now, we all have constraints. We may have other people in our lives or other things we've got to worry about and deal with. But within whatever constraints you have, that's a step most people just don't take. And they sort of, they base jump out of their career and they're in free fall and they're like, well, I guess I'll figure it out. It's exactly what I did. And I will just say there are way more comfortable ways to go about this. And you just need to reflect on these things. But who has time when they're working? You know, we all just do what we got to do. So I am a big fan of trying to make, you know, a definitional set of criteria for people who say these are the things I want to be investing in, working on, spending more time at. And then let's get that organized and think of it. How's your day look? You know, what's a perfect day look like?
My guest today is Elizabeth Parsons, and she is a retirement transition expert, and her goal is to help high-achieving professionals redefine their retirement. And with that, we'll be right back.
We have some exciting news. Ellen Becker Investment Group is officially launching our brand new program, The Wealth Seed. This program is designed to give you high-quality financial guidance tailored to your stage of saving, no matter your experience level. As part of this program, you'll get a growing library of short, easy-to-understand financial podcasts, monthly educational emails, interactive workshops, and curated tools like book and media recommendations, all created to help you build confidence and clarity around your finances. Plant your wealth seed today and start growing with us at ellenbecker.com/thewealthseed.
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome back. You have so many things on your plate. You're working with retirement and transitions. You're a founder for this wonderful firm, Encore, that you're doing. And you're a lawyer, you're a consultant, and you wrote a book. Yeah. That was a pretty big leap from your first decision to just kind of take a break and let it fall in place. And the reality is it did fall in place. And I'm not sure how much time it took you to have these pieces, but I feel very much like you. I'm 76 years old, and people say, you know, when are you going to stop working?
Wow.
And it just doesn't feel like work to me. I so enjoy having what you talk about, the freedom, and the freedom that I don't have to be at my desk at 8 o'clock, but I might get to my desk at 10 o'clock. And I'm really not managing portfolios. I'm really sort of managing all the things that I enjoy doing. And I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she said, "Mom, it's really hard for us to figure out how to do these shows because you don't even know your schedule." And that's because I have so many things that pop up that I enjoy doing that are fulfilling. And brain, you know, my brain is active and my brain is working. And so how do people get to that place? And how much time does it take once you retire? They tell me that it takes men longer to fall into the retirement mode because so much of their personal friendships are attached to their work, where women have raised kids and they've been doing more of the carpooling and the meeting and the friends. And so they have a bigger group of people that they can access. And I don't know if that's still true. That was something I heard a long time ago.
No, I think there is truth to that. And I see those patterns often in my clients. There are always exceptions, but I would say the way that I think I would explain that in part is I think women who've also had careers but been at the forefront of family raising and probably some version of homemaking, they have a little bit more identity diversity, if that makes sense. And by diversity, I mean variety. So they see themselves strongly as mother. They see themselves strongly as a career person. You know, they may see their friend role as a very, very alive, important role for them. They're often caretakers of other people in their families as well, siblings or daughters. And so there's a certain amount of commitment to those roles that I think often helps women leaving careers feel more comfortable that they're still who they are, even though they are leaving the career. They have a better sense of the breadth of all the ways they show up in the world. And I think for men, our culture can sometimes hammer home, no, you're the provider, you know, and sure, you're a dad and you're a husband, but that's all secondary. You're a provider. And so it's tough, you know, to set that thing down and go discover what all these other roles are really about. And I think for many men, they've been working so hard to check that provider box and to make sure they deliver what the world expects of them in that way, that they have let their friendship stagnate, you know, just from lack of time. And they perhaps have had to put family in a back seat. I mean, I've had many clients tell me, you know, my family always got the leftovers, always. And so they feel sheepish now, you know, sort of, hey, I'm here, you know, who wants to hang out? And the truth is, it's not as hard as it sounds to get everything re-energized, but you again have to be the proactive one. And I think that's where I find most men struggle relative to the women that we work with. The men feel like being proactive and being the one to reach out and energize the connection is uncomfortable. It's not something they're used to doing. And they resist it a little bit. And I think just as a pattern, women are more used to doing that. So it is an interesting, but not unsolvable challenge.
When you wrote your book, and people have this opportunity to purchase it, and it's called Encore Coaching and Consulting is your firm, but the book is also called that, and it's A High Achiever's Guide to Thriving in Retirement. Does it walk them through this process and the question? Because I know as you're counseling people, as we said, everybody is really different. And you might want to just share with us, what are some of the steps that you do when you meet with a client? And can you do it over phone? Is it something that you're open to with new clients? How does that work?
Absolutely. So yes, the book certainly provides an array of questions and exercises and real life examples, real clients who gave us permission to share their stories as evidence of some of the work we do. But in terms of working with actual clients, we've got several modes for that. We do some in-person work with individual couples. You know, we have a virtual one-day session that we do over Zoom that is a very, very effective program. And we're just this year rolling out group programs because we've had so many people reach out and say, I'd really love to get some support with this and to learn more about how to think about it. And what we've learned just with the early group programs we've done is lovely because you develop a cohort of others going through the same thing, and they become a little community of people who are supporting each other, you know, as they embrace this whole thing. So that's been quite, I think, additive for people. But yes, we try, or I tried in the book, to share some concrete explorations that people can do. I always find it hard to do these things by ourselves, but I think, you know, if you're a reflective person, it's possible for sure.
And Elizabeth, which are the best ways for them to connect with you? I know that you have your zlinkaparsons.com.
Yes. And another simple URL to go to, which will direct you straight to the website with the book and the programming, is highachieverretirement.com. And as well, if you search my name, Elizabeth Zelenka Parsons, on LinkedIn, it'll also give you all the doorways.
I think it's such a great thing that you're doing too, because I know that people just don't think to ask the question. They don't know what they need to know.
Right.
And it sort of lights a little fire under people to recognize themselves in some of those situations, mm-hmm. and to give them an opportunity to think about it in advance. And I would even say for us, when we're looking at people with the retirement, you know, we really like to look at it about 2 or 3 years in advance so we can start structuring portfolios. So where's the income going to come from?
Right.
You know, what is the situation? How are you going to get the income out? Is it taxable, tax-free? And so we'd like to talk about those buckets and plenty of time that they have time to organize that financial piece. But the financial piece just isn't all of it. It really isn't. And all the money in the world, if you're not happy, isn't worth it.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And I, you know, I say to people all the time, you've worked so hard to get where you are and to create this freedom. So it's really worth digging in and figuring out, how do you make this next decade or two absolutely spectacular? What does that mean to you? And during working life, we just don't have the time to reflect on those questions. But, you know, if you take a few days and get with some people who know how to facilitate that thinking, I mean, you can walk out with a lot of clarity and some really strong directions that you start moving in. And then it's fun. It's not scary at all. It's fun.
When you're talking to someone who is married and one of them is retiring, one is not, how do you help them get on the same page to look at what their future might look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, one of the things that we, you know, we end up working with couples, as you can imagine, frequently around this topic. So people chuckle and say, oh, you're marriage counselors too. But what we actually, you know, what we ask them is, let's set aside that one of you is going to have more freedom than the other right now, because that can be true throughout a marriage, right? One or the other happens to have more freedom and agency. But let's zoom out. And what is it you really want out of your relationship? I mean, is this an opportunity to get closer? Is it an opportunity for one of you to really take off who's had to defer the career? In other words, what is this relationship, if it's really great, about for you guys now? Because there is a significant thing changing. And it's as different as the couples that we meet with, because some of them are in second marriages. Some of them have young children. Some of them are, you know, free as they can be. Maybe one's a business owner and they can control their time well. So we like to really talk more about what is it you want to create together. Then let's get into the nuts and bolts and talk about how you restructure your time and your schedule so that you can maximize that stuff you want. But usually, as somebody's leaving a career, all they can think about is what's this going to do to us? Not, they aren't yet in the mode of what do we want to create together? And that's what we try to help them think about.
What about practicing retirement?
You mean sort of
in the terms of starting, if you have a hobby, starting it early, if you have something that's interesting, or if you're thinking about being philanthropic and you want to give back, because yes. I know giving back has such a positive impact on us. But I always say practicing retirement to some degree, maybe take off a day or two and see what it feels like to just be home all day.
Yeah, no, I see where you're going now. We call that, we agree 100%. And depending on the career somebody's in, I mean, we love to tell people to start to taper their work life where they can and start building into some of these personal areas that they want to energize. To your point, start practicing, start working at this and flexing these muscles a little bit to begin experimentation. And most of our clients, really, if we press them on this, they actually do have the agency to begin to cut back at work without relinquishing their obligations and responsibilities entirely. And so I think it's a fantastic practice to begin to try things. And we also tell people that you can certainly frame your first 6 months to a year as a sabbatical. If you're not quite sure what you're going to be doing yet, you don't have to have that answer, but you can tell the world, you know, I'm going to take a sabbatical. I'm going to try some things. I'm going to experiment. I want to be selective. I want to be careful what I get into. And people get it. And then they know, oh, you're not going away. You're just taking a break. And I think that's another helpful framework for people because they often feel this pressure to have an answer when they get asked.
What about that business owner who wants to retire but just can't let go?
Yeah, that's a common one. And I've seen it scuttle many a sail. I've seen it. I mean, you know, it's tough because I think that is one of the biggest identity challenges that we see, because truly building something is, it almost feels like it is you, and letting go of it is like, who am I now going to be if I'm not the one who owns this thing? So what we really work with people in those situations, especially, to break down the roles they've played in their business, like sort of think about it in smaller pieces, not just I own this business, I ran it, I built it, but what were the roles you played inside that company that you loved? You know, were you a connector? Were you a facilitator? Were you a strategist? You know, whatever those things are. And let's start looking at fresh places to apply those roles, as opposed to just going back to that place, you know, that business that is what you've invested in your whole life. And it really is helpful because they can see there are other ways in the world to go enjoy those roles again. And once you get moving into something new, it's much easier to let go of something else. But if you have nothing to move to, you know, the safe thing to do is cling to what you got.
Right. Well, every business owner knows that they need to do a business succession plan. Mm-hmm. And we always think of it in terms of the business, but we don't think of the succession plan in terms of our personal lives. And what does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it is all about that intentional design for living and asking yourself, if you are going to stand at the end of this next decade and decide, wow, that was spectacular. What did you do? What did you live? What did you engage in? Where did you travel? What are your friends like? You know, what's going on in your family? And start thinking about how to make all that true. And it really is like a strategic plan for your life. And the succession plan, in my mind, is making that as rich and robust as the working life was. You know, it's full. It's full of things that you get to choose, you know, who you do it with, when you do it, where you do it. And that's what the joy of being in this chapter is. It's all that freedom.
It's the freedom. And I love the ideas of people really thinking about how can they take all the skills that they have and use them to make this world a better place. And so often to my business owners, I'll say, what about tutoring? What about getting involved in a group of young business owners that need to have some help in their own careers? And I have found that that also has been really compelling for business owners, where they can see that they still have something to give back. And I know, I think of even myself, I think at this point in my life, I really have a lot of knowledge I can share, but who do I share it with?
Yeah. So we talk about that a lot, that our, you know, in many psychological realms, there's a lot of science about this, but that our strength in middle adulthood is production and being like, you know, working hard and really bringing it. But our strength as we get into late adulthood is wisdom. That's what's most meaningful to share. It's not the man hours, it's the wisdom. And so when we're looking at pathways for engagement, we are always keeping that in mind. For example, one really popular place for people who've sold companies to go and volunteer their time is in incubators that are attached to universities and you know, the startup realm, because there are people there with brilliant minds, brilliant technology, but they don't have the wisdom of what it takes to build and run a company. They don't know what the pitfalls might be. We've seen so many people go into those areas and find them incredibly rewarding because they're able to deploy that wisdom in service of something that is going to help the world. And they're helping these individual, you know, entrepreneurs as well. So that's a popular one. But I think you've hit on it, that if you can deploy your wisdom in a way that is truly useful to other people, that is, that right there is fulfillment. And the nice thing is, you know, most of the clients we're working with, they don't need the money. And so they can volunteer, they can give their time and energy, and they have the freedom to experiment. And if they try something and it turns out not to be a great fit, it's no problem. So what? Go try the next thing. You know, so there's that sense of permission to go just try things without it being so heavy, you know, the way it was when you had to make your career work.
And nobody's going to come knocking on your door.
Right. You got to get up. You got to get out there. That's right. We tell people all the time, go out, talk to people, talk to your friends, light up your network, get advice, you know, and it's like a treasure hunt. You got to get out there.
Well, I think about some of the conversations I've been having recently with friends is that if every one of us would just impact one person, what a difference this world would be. Yeah. We are hearing about all the stuff that goes on in the world, but the truth of it is, now that I've gotten so involved with my own charity and being out in the community doing things, I cannot believe how much good is really happening and how many organizations are out there really trying to make an impact in so many different ways, in schools, in churches, in businesses, helping startups. I had no idea that there were so many people out there doing good things. And I think if we can all just find one person to have an impact, what a difference this world would make.
Oh my gosh, yes. You made me think of a client that she was a finance lawyer at one of these huge law firms in New York, and she retired to DC, and she'd worked with us. And she tried a few things. She tried teaching, but she really wanted to make a difference. She tried, you know, working in the mediation space, and she'd been a lawyer. But you know what she ended up landing on that she's doing now that she absolutely loves? She is a volunteer EMT in her community. And she is in the back of that ambulance supporting those who are working in that career. And also there's just the extra set of hands. She's, you know, a patient support. The training was fascinating. And she said, what I love about it is I'm helping. I mean, there are crises happening all the time, and I'm right in the middle helping to get things in a better place. And then when I leave work, I'm off. I'm done.
And she's doing something completely unique and different.
Totally.
And
different.
Her brain is always working with different things. I think so often we only think of ourselves as linear, like we only have one thing that we've done.
Right.
And exploring all these up, just put yourself in a situation to figure out, you know, to look around and say, what's not working here and how can I help?
Exactly. I could not agree more. And you just can't be afraid of what if it doesn't work. That is just not the conversation to be having. It's what if it does work, right? I mean, what if I have the adventure of my life now? Isn't that what we're here to do? And my, you know, constant refrain to people is don't criticize your ideas to death. You know, you really do have the luxury of experimentation and you've got time. This doesn't have to all figure itself out immediately. You're going to live your way to the answer. I also tell people, this is a little bit like trying to read about swimming, right? You can read and read and read, but until you jump in, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And I think retirement isn't an end. It's a beginning.
Yes, it's a beginning. It's a graduation. You have arrived in a way. And the rest of the world is watching, including often your own next generation. And I tell people, you know, you're setting up a role model for them. Show them what it is to graduate out of this stage of life and into something rich and vibrant and energizing and impactful. I mean, what a wonderful, you know, source of motivation that is, because they're watching. And I know in my generation, we saw lots of people retire and go right off a cliff. It's what happened to my dad, you know, so that's not a model I'm excited by. I'm excited by the model where, you know, the world is my oyster. Now I get to pick and choose.
Oh, I love that. I love that vision. My guest today is Elizabeth Parsons, and she is an author, and she wrote a wonderful book, A High Achiever's Guide to Thriving in Retirement. She is also a coach. You can reach out to her. I love your energy. I can tell that you absolutely are loving helping people find a path away from their career, but creating something totally unique and something different, because that energy in this world is so fabulous. And I just sort of feel the same thing when people say to me, when are you going to retire? And I go like, why would I retire? I'm having so much fun.
Right. I mean, I don't need to retire from my life.
I don't need to retire from my life. And that is so absolutely true. Again, would you, Elizabeth, give out your the best way to reach out?
Absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn searching my name, Elizabeth Zelinka Parsons, or you can go to highachieverretirement.com, and that will point you to the CORE website and all the resources that are there.
And Elizabeth, thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for being here. And I hope that I've made a difference in your financial well-being. Have a great day. And thank you again.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please know, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.